Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each week the hosts Caleb, Derek, and Jay share their favorite things on a wide range of topics. They chat, debate, and sometimes even agree on their top picks, from serious to silly. Sometimes they have a guest join them to add a new perspective. Whether they take it seriously or just for the laughs, you're in for a treat. So grab your headphones and let's get started on this week's High Five.
So I have an old man injury. It's stupid. I was talking on the phone right before baseball practice. And you know how you put your arm in one position for like a half hour and you talk on the phone? My bicep just like seized up on me.
Gave
and
out.
then I had to and then I had to go play baseball. And so I'm like, but like anytime I straighten my arm out, it's like I can't straighten it out. Getting old sucks.
I still can't believe you do baseball without a glove.
Caleb's come to a couple of my games.
I will come. I would be interested to watch. Especially since I feel like I know like half the team.
Yeah.
Just from the community, but I don't think I could do it.
There's a lot of gauging whether or not you're going to put your hands in front of something based on the time in the game, the time in the season, and like no
the
one's
velocity.
Gonna, yeah.
Yeah.
The velocity,
I was gonna
say, who's
the speed
hitting
of the ball.
Yeah. No one's ever going to fault you for getting out of the way of a hot liner. Like,
nah.
I mean, it's totally up to you. If you want to put your hand in front of that, you can definitely do it in a safe manner. A lot of it, you know, a lot of line drives, like if you're playing shortstop, you're like trying to catch it, like moving your hand back with the ball. So there's a lot of technique like that sort of thing, but also you can catch it on one bounce and still get an out, you know? So there's a lot of just deciding whether or not you're going to catch it on one bounce or not.
You don't just Happy Gilmore it and take it to the
Mm-mm.
chest.
Mm-mm. I have. No, I will. Like if it's something important and like it's coming in, I'll catch it like this up against my chest where, you know, you use your chest as a backstop almost.
Yeah, and gonna crack your sternum and or stop your heart. Okay, cool.
Super safe.
Depends on what point of the game it's in.
Yeah, that's when the velocity really comes into play.
Yeah. Yep. Luckily I've not had to take like a hot line drive to, you know, anywhere, you know, like it's never been that point in the game where everything just lined up perfectly. It's happened with guys on the team. But I normally play outfield too, so I'm running around, running after long fly balls that are just lofting up in the air. So normally anything that's coming my way is not going to be a line drive. So,
yeah.
But yeah. So, but that's not why we're here, guys.
It's not?
No.
I had my
answer that mystery for me, Jay. Why are we here?
I had my top five wrong then.
Well, a couple weeks ago we talked about our favorite conspiracy theories, and that was fun. But today we're digging into something a little different to ponder, and that's unsolved mysteries,
which can lead to conspiracy theories.
Yeah,
right?
they are exactly. A little related. I did want to talk a little bit about, you know, the difference between the two as far as I see that, and we can also talk about that. But like unsolved mysteries, from the way I understand it and the way I look at it, they're a little different. Conspiracy theories usually involve some sort of like secret plan or cover up, like someone's behind it, someone's pulling the strings. Whether you know who it is or not, it seems like there's somebody, you know, facilitating or controlling it.
They're twins, or right? They're twin siblings of each other, right? So
sure.
The unsolved mystery is the question,
The
The conspiracy theory is one of many answers that has not yet been proven.
So like with an unsolved mystery, it's like, how did this happen? That's the question. Like, it's such a mystery that it's like there's no clear answer, there's no satisfying explanation, and there's no one to blame. It's just a mystery, right? So I think that's kind of the differentiation to me. How do you guys see it?
I see it
Well, in the
as,
absence, oh, sorry, go ahead, Caleb.
I was gonna say, I see it as like the unsolved mystery leads to the conspiracy theories. So like you
Exactly.
have to have the unsolved in order to have the conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I can see
Exactly.
that.
So in the absence, I always say, in the absence of information, that's when your imagination takes over. And I say that as somebody who suffers from anxiety occasionally, that this usually means that if my imagination is kicking into overdrive, it's like I just need more information to make a decision. But yeah, the unsolved mystery is the question. The conspiracy theory is an answer, not the answer, but an answer. Part of the reason why I suggested this as a topic. So this has actually become like my favorite kind of like icebreaker. Like when you're in a cocktail party or in a bar, in a group of people. John Hodgman, famously for This American Life, did an episode where his icebreaker was, which superpower would you rather have, flight or invisibility? And it leads to all kinds of great questions, right? I actually think this one is also really interesting too. It kind of says a lot about the person in terms of what are things that they're curious about that we don't know the answer to.
Unsolved mysteries. I mean, obviously there is a TV show, that
There is.
has taken up a lot of our time from
Famously hosted by Robert Stack with the smoothest voice you'll ever hear.
So I think this is one of those that I think grabs our imagination maybe a little bit more because there's just so much more that your imagination can run with, as opposed to a conspiracy theory where it's just like, yeah, people kind of, people who that believe in conspiracy theories or people that spend their time on conspiracy theories tend to be a little wacko. But like unsolved mysteries, like anybody can experience an unsolved mystery. Like it happens to everybody. It happens to everyday people. So
How did that gray hair get here? That's usually my unsolved
exactly.
mysteries
That's my
these
number
days.
five.
Yep,
So this was Rob's topic, right?
was, yeah. This is my famous icebreaker.
You want to start us off, Rob?
I can kick it off. Yep. All right. So I'm going to kick it off with a bang, as someone might say. Does spontaneous combustion really exist? So, in July of 1951, authorities found the body of a 67-year-old Mary Razor in her St. Petersburg, Florida apartment, or more accurately, a pile of ash that was once Mary Razor's body. Part of her lower leg and some of her spine remained.
Oh my goodness.
Apparently, her body had almost entirely cremated, which is difficult when you stop to think that cremation requires 3 hours of burning at a 3,000-degree fire. Even more bizarre, only Razor's body had been burned. The rest of her apartment was intact, even the pile of newspapers beside her body. So I'm not going to lie, I have been fascinated by spontaneous combustion and or maybe anxious about spontaneous combustion since I was 13 years old.
Did you say that what the date was on this?
This is July 1951.
51.
Yeah. Now it's not like, people are just going around spontaneously combusting, right? Like, so not very many more cases have happened, but it is sort of unusual. I mean, and again, this kind of is like, is this a conspiracy theory or is it unsolved? Because quite frankly, we maybe didn't have the tools that we
Forensics
have at
tools, yeah.
forensics. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, that's where some of these mysteries, as depending on what time period they take in, it could just be an unsolved mystery just due to the sheer fact that, we didn't have fingerprint technology for a while, or we didn't have DNA technology for a while. So, yeah, but I've always been horrified at the thought of spontaneous combustion.
Well, I mean, it's still an unsolved mystery, even if
Yeah.
someone did do it. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, but
That's a.
That's kind of a cool way to go out because you go out and everybody's like, what the hell happened? So, I mean, that's kind of a cool way to go out.
You could say Mary went out with a bang.
Yep.
Well,
Or a fizzle. I don't know how it
yeah.
happens.
A
Was
slow
just a
burn.
puff.
It was just a slow burn death.
Okay, so that's a good one. Caleb, you want to go?
Sure. Number five is probably the most recent memory that I can think of an unsolved mystery that makes no sense to me, and that's the Malaysian flight. On March 8th, 2014, the Malaysian flight 370, a Boeing 777 carrying 239 people disappeared from the radar for 45 minutes after 40 minutes into the flight. Plane's transponder stopped transmitting. A military radar showed it deviating from its flight path towards the Andaman Sea. I don't even know how you say that. Despite extensive research, no wreckage has been found, though they do believe maybe some debris has washed up off the coast of Africa and other small islands. But yeah, just a plane gone. No one knows what happened to it. Can't find it. I remember watching the news, and this was coverage for felt like a year. I don't really know how long the coverage went on for, but it felt like forever that they were always talking about this flight. What happened? Where did it go? I just can't imagine being like a family member and just being like, yeah, my family member just disappeared. We have no conclusion, no peace from that. So yeah, it's just a crazy mystery that no one has been able to solve, which is crazy. I can't believe we haven't found pieces or something. It seems like we should have something, but
Yeah, the
nothing.
pieces part of it is the strange part, right? Because if a plane hits the water, which seems like the most likely scenario, unless it hit a
Right.
wormhole to another dimension, that's a conspiracy theory. If it hit the water, right, then there's impact, then there's pieces that are floating in the water while the rest of it sank. And
Yep.
yeah, there's no missing pieces, and that's strange.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't there. Didn't you say that, like, or maybe I read this somewhere because I was doing research and saw this as well. The weirdest part about it was like how like it turned off course, like intentionally. Like there are records that show that it when it was still in contact, it deliberately like veered off course at some point. And so that makes you
Right.
think that there was something going on, either the pilot or someone hijacked it or something
Yep.
happened to make it purposefully turn off course before it lost contact. But there's no, obviously no other evidence like that. So, but yeah, crazy. Yeah. That's an interesting one. Yeah, they found some debris, but there's
They
no
think they
size
found
of.
some
Yeah,
debris,
yeah,
but they're
yeah.
not even
There's not enough to
positive.
know that it's that. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. There's just pieces of debris and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a puzzling one. Okay.
I almost, that would have been one of my honorable mentions, because that
Yeah.
is, yeah.
Yeah, I did not pick that one either. Cool. All right, my number five is the Heymin Lee murder mystery. This
Ooh.
one blew up when the Serial podcast, I think 2014, but it was basically a high school sweetheart case where Adnan Syed, was her ex-boyfriend. But there's very, very sketchy information about this, but what made it so gripping was how ordinary it all felt. It was a teenage romance, jealousy, unreliable memories, but when you dig into the timeline, the cell tower records, inconsistent testimonies, it all gets very sketchy, very murky. So you have you guys heard about this? You've heard about
Oh
the
yeah.
Serial
Well, this is the
podcast?
case that launched podcasting into the
I
mainstream.
mean, really, really, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it went from being a niche thing where only weirdos listen to podcasts like me to everybody did.
the people who tune into the High Five podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, there are theories that obviously Adnan did it. He went to jail. He went to prison for it. But the case was mishandled. There's the theory that he's innocent, and someone else, a friend, his name was Jay. He was a key witness. There's skepticism of whether or not he had something to do with it. And then there's third person, but no evidence, stating that. There are some interesting details. A major piece of testimony came from a guy who admitted to lying multiple times. That was Jay. And cell phone data used to convict him was later discredited because back then it was, the funny thing about this whole case is, to me and Katie, and to you guys too, because we're about the same age, is that th this was 1999. They were graduating from high school. That's the year that I graduated from high school. So it really hit home for me where it's like this could have happened in my neck of the woods. But back then, very few people had cell phones. And if you had a cell phone, it was a crappy flip phone, and cell towers were very hard to tell, like what you couldn't triangulate someone with a cell phone very well back then. It was just like if you had a cell phone, it would ping this tower or ping this tower, and you could maybe triangulate the rough area of someone. And so that was a large piece of information that literally sent him to jail for, I can't remember how long he went. It was like 20 years or something like that that he was in jail. And yeah, so, but yeah, like Rob said, it
Do you
really
think he
brought.
did it? Do you think he did it or didn't do it?
I don't know. I mean,
Jay's thinking.
I
Yeah.
listened to the whole podcast. I mean, I listened to they actually revisited it after a couple years. If I had to guess, I would say he did not do it. I think either the other character named Jay did it, or somebody, just a third party who was not even, who covered their tracks well enough. I think, it was somebody else, or this Jay character, because the Jay character, he was the one that was caught lying multiple times. Like Adnan was never, like he had his alibi and never changed. So like it seemed like he was more trustworthy about the whole thing, but I don't, who knows? Yeah, such a crazy case.
Was this the one where he ended up getting off because of the podcast, or was that a different podcast?
Yes, this is the one, and he's, I think he's out right now, but there's a relative of Heyman Lee that they're trying to get it reinstated or something like that. So it's kind of on again, off again sort of thing right
Got it.
now. Like even to this day, I saw an article like not even a month ago about it. So it's continuing on. So yeah, that's my number five.
Nice.
Brought to you by MailChimp.
Hey, and if nothing else, not only did it launch the world of podcasting and therefore the Hi Five podcast, it gave us a great first season of Only Murders in the Building.
There, yes. I need to watch that show.
Wait, you haven't seen it yet?
No,
Oh.
I've heard everything about it. I've heard interviews of all of them on podcasts, and yeah, it's
I
just
think you
one of
can watch
those.
it. I think it's, I know it's on Hulu, but I think it may also be on Disney Positive.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
I love that you call it Disney Positive.
You've got the, well, when it first launched, they never actually said what the plus sign did.
That's
So,
true. You had to guess.
and nobody ever walks around being like, I'm HIV plus, right? Like,
They might
my friend and I
now,
call,
they
that's
might
pretty
now. Yeah.
My friend and I call it Disney Positive, but anyways.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. So that was my number five. Rob,
All right.
you're up.
Yeah, my number four. All right. So this is a medical mystery. Similar, right? Like spontaneous combustion, medical mystery. You can kind of get a sense of where my anxieties lie. All right. So this is 1969. Vietnam War was raging, right? Man lands on the moon. There's a 16-year-old who was hospitalized in St. Louis, Missouri, for extreme unintended weight loss and a host of infections. The doctors had no answers, and Robert Rayford, the 16-year-old boy, dies. A few years later, HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, was discovered in the country. Subsequently, medical testing of his blood revealed that he had the virus in 1969, nearly a decade before it was discovered. He had never been out of the country, and he never received a blood transfusion. So I've always kind of been just interested to know
Yeah.
what the hell happened there.
Yeah. Huh. So, wow.
So he's
When
on
a Disney
record.
positive did lead into number
Good
four. So he must be
segue.
on record as the first person on record to die from AIDS then?
I believe that is the case, right? You know, so but it is a very strange thing. And you know, as a gay man, right, like that is a virus that you like,
Yeah,
especially when you're
very
coming of age and
conscientious of.
puberty in the 90s,
Yeah,
right? Like
yeah.
it's just one of those things. But yeah, it is a very, very strange case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I never
Interesting.
heard of that.
What was his name?
Robert Rayford, RAYFORD.
Okay.
Interesting.
Not Robert Redford.
Yeah, not Robert
Nope.
Redford. Yeah.
Not that one. Different Robert.
Similarly, I will say this. Similarly, like in 2019, in August of 2019, I had like one of those. I'm at, it's like a light switch happened. I'm at a movie theater watching Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Ah, great movie.
And I'm eating the popcorn, I'm drinking the soda, and then there's some candy. And I turn to my friend, I'm like, this candy tastes off. Does this taste off to you? She's like, it tastes fine. So I actually go out to like exchange my candy. I lost my sense of taste and smell. And then a few months later, COVID happens. My sister actually happened to go to
Sure.
Italy and get super in October. So this was August of 2019. My sister goes to Italy in October of 2019, come back with like one of the worst respiratory viruses she's ever had. And so I've always sort of wondered, like, you know, these things happen and you really don't know what you're dealing with because they kind of
Yep.
present as other things. We don't even have tests for these things because we don't
Yep.
even know that these things exist. So like
Yep.
that's I always find virology very you know, viral investigations I always find very interesting because you're actually playing catch up a lot of times.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you're working backwards. Yeah. Interesting. Huh. Okay. Another good one. Another one I never heard of.
All right.
All right, Caleb, what's your number four?
My number four is the only unsolved mystery that involves me personally. It's the only one.
Ooh, tell me more.
Yep. And that is socks. Where the hell do the other pair of socks go after I do the laundry? I don't understand. As the primary person who does laundry in my house, somehow magically I lose pairs of socks and I don't know what happens to them. I have one, but I don't have the other one. I like literally will just buy them and I'll wash them and then I'll try to put them back together. And lo and behold, always one spontaneously combusts in the washer dryer. I don't know what happens, but the mystery of where the socks go drives me crazy. I can't
Yeah.
tell you how many just one sock, single sock I have in the house. I have a pile hoping and praying that they
Me
reappear
too. We all have
somehow and they don't and they never come back. They never
that
resurface, but
pile.
somehow it's gone.
That's a good
It's
one.
my most personal unsolved mystery.
The spontaneous combustion of the sock becomes the ashes of the lint trap.
Yeah, I guess. Somewhat.
You buy really cheap socks.
Right.
Yeah,
One wash and they're
got
gone.
them on
Temu.
Temu.
A single use sock.
Nice. Nice. Yep. I do find that if I do my own laundry and I'm separating everything and doing my own laundry, I barely ever lose socks, but don't tell Vivian or Katie that.
I hate to say this. I, as somebody who does his own laundry, I do not lose socks either.
There you go, Caleb.
Oh, must be me. I'm doing something wrong. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Love it.
But also, it helps too when you just do a whole load of laundry that's just like socks and underwear.
Oh, I
Right? Because
never
then
do
they don't
that.
get tangled up in like a, they don't get tangled up in a hoodie or a
Yeah.
jacket
Or
or a
you're
pair of
wearing your shirt
pants.
and you're like, what's that in my shirt?
Yeah,
It's a
you pull
sock.
out the
Yep, I've done that more than once.
Yep.
All right, my number four. This one is a local thing. It does have situations in other locations, but this is the one that I first heard of. I heard about it on a podcast called 20,000 Hertz. It's a podcast about sound and the study of sound. But this one was a podcast on kind of like, unsolved mysteries, and it's known as the Windsor Hum. So since the late 2000s, folks in Windsor, Ontario, right across the river from Detroit, started hearing this weird low hum. People said it shook their walls, kept them up at night, gave them headaches. Eventually, it was traced to Zug Island, which is an industrial island in the Detroit River on the south side of Detroit. So it's this gritty industrial zone in Michigan, full of blast furnaces, steel mills, that sort of thing. But the US never officially confirmed anything because it was only the people in Ontario that were complaining about it because nobody lived there on the US side. But then in 2020, the hum mysteriously stopped right around the same time that US Steel shut down their operations on Zug Island. So some say it was just machinery, so others claim it was a secret military studies or tech going on there, underground tunneling possibly. A few people even think it was sonic testing or yeah, like weapons experiments or something. But yeah, it's just a interesting thing. And I before 2020, Katie and I went down there and actually witnessed it after hearing about it on this podcast. And so we've witnessed it. It actually happened. And it's just low droning, like not a hum, but just a low like bass sound. It's just constant bass sound that never stops. And I can just imagine having living in this area and just having to hear that all the time, it would just be maddening, you know. Some fun facts about it. A Canadian politician called it a Celine Dion concert nobody asked for. Some Windsor folks legit moved because they couldn't take it anymore. And someone called Zug Island Detroit's real life mystery factory. So yeah. But yeah, that's my number four, the Windsor Hum on Zug Island.
Windsor.
Yep.
When you
Never
said a
heard of that.
local mystery, so as you were describing it, I think I had heard of it. Of course, I was thinking about that similar case in Cuba where there's an embassy where people, right? And sound, when you can't get rid of a sound that you can't identify, it can be maddening. But when you started off talking about a local mystery, I thought you were going to go in the direction of Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I did not pick Jimmy Hoffa. No, that's a
Okay.
good one though. But I don't know as much about that one. Or care about it as much.
You go. You
So.
should care about it. He's the reason the Lions haven't won a Super Bowl, right?
No, that's Bobby Lane.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got my names wrong.
Okay, so that's my number four. Rob, you're up.
All right, number three. So these next three for me are like the real mysteries that when I do this icebreaker. Number four and five, to fit the format of the High Five podcast, I had to kind of find some that I'm like, oh yeah, I'm curious about it. But this mystery, number three, is one that I just find incredibly fascinating. Picture it. Portland, Oregon, 1971. The night before Thanksgiving, a Northwest Orient Airlines flight takes off from Portland, Oregon. Passengers have no idea that a middle-aged man in a dark suit is sitting near the rear of the plane, smoking a cigarette, speaking quietly to the stewardess. He then hands her a note demanding $200,000 in cash, which would be about $1 million today, four parachutes, in a trip to Mexico. And this is Dan Cooper, whereas the media mistakenly named him DB
DB
Cooper.
Cooper. Yep.
DB Cooper. Who is DB Cooper? And of course, this kind of becomes like the namesake for Special Agent Dale Cooper, who goes to Pacific Northwest in 1989 to investigate the death of Ballora Palmer. That's fictional. But Dan Cooper, DB Cooper is real, right? So he disappears from the back of the plane. They stop, they get him parachutes, they get him the money. He puts a bunch of money in the parachutes. The flight crew leaves him alone in the rear of the plane. They don't know how he gets out, but they presume that he jumps. They never find his body. They never find the parachutes. The marked bills were never used for the ransom money, although some of the money is found along the banks of a river in Oregon. But we really don't know who
Wasn't
is
it like sometime
DB
later
Cooper.
too, like 10 years later or something?
Many years later. And HBO Max or Max, whatever it's called nowadays, when they were launching the TV show The Flight Attendant with Kaley Cuoco or whatever, which is a great series, they did do a great documentary about DB Cooper. For anyone who's interested in learning about this or a summary beyond what I've just talked about, I mean, what's interesting now is at this point, DB Cooper, if he survived, could likely have died depending on his age and everything else. So you have a lot of people who are claiming that their father was DB Cooper for various reasons. And I don't know. I just think this is the kind of mystery that I just think this is fascinating. I really do. I think this is the kind of mystery
So
that Batman would solve, right?
what do you think happened? In your heart of hearts, what do you think happened to DB Cooper?
I mean, I think he parachuted out. I think he got away with it, but he probably injured himself so severely that he probably couldn't gather all the money or couldn't collect the money or couldn't transport the money. So I'm sure that's why some of the money was found. As for why the marked bills were never used, I don't know, but I think he probably survived. If he had died, I feel like a body would have been found. Since, I mean, this is what, 1971, right? So that's, so I feel like a body would have been found, but maybe not. I mean, it's the remote woods of the Pacific Northwest. So he either died or he survived and probably was like, severely injured by it. And then, I really don't know. I really don't know, and I have a theory.
Yeah, this was one of my honorable mentions. I think he survived and he just did it because he was like an adrenaline junkie. It's like he didn't even care about the money. He didn't care about anything. He survived. It's like, oh, cool, I did it. And then he just left the money, buried it
Weren't there
somewhere.
some rumors that he was like a disgruntled, some sort of airline employee? Then he had some sort of general knowledge about how to, properly exit an airplane with a parachute. Like, I feel like there was something about like he had some knowledge. He knew what he was doing to a certain extent. So if that's the case, like if you got out and you parachuted, like that was the hard part. Like getting down safely, like you'd think he'd be able to finish the mission. But yeah, I like that one. It's a that like you said, it's really it's made for conversations like this.
I tend to like a good bloodless crime. I can't do some of the true crime podcasts, but like this is a true crime.
Yeah,
And
same.
nobody got injured, right? There's no, I mean, okay, so some money got stolen, right? But like
Maybe
everyone on the
DB Cooper
flight,
got injured, but that's it.
but like he didn't cause harm to someone else, right? So like I think I always find those crimes fascinating.
Okay. So that was your number three. Caleb, what you got?
My number three is probably just like the first one that came to my mind, just because it was like the first mystery I remember as a little kid, and that was the John Benet Ramsey murder. I just remember it when I was really little. My mom would watch it on the news, and I don't know. I think I was close to her age. I was a little bit older than she was, but just the similarities in age and that kind of stuff. My mom paid a lot of attention to it, so
Yeah, it was all over the news.
So she was obviously a child pageant winner, and then in December 25th, so Christmas Day of 1996, she was found in the basement where she had been murdered, and still they don't know who did it. You know, originally the parents were blamed, and then turns out, well, according to what I read in 2008, they say the parent, or 2002, nope, 2008, there was some DNA evidence that exonerated the parents and all that. So, still unsolved. No one really knows what happened, how she died, who killed her. I did read an article about there was a note, and this was like a couple months ago, that there was a note from the person that actually did it, but I didn't ever hear any conclusion from that. So, but yeah, I just remember it being a huge deal. I remember watching it on the news. I remember my mom talking about it with my dad and stuff. And yeah, it just was kind of the first mystery that I remember ever really being involved in. Not involved in, talking about, or
Paying attention to.
being culturally relevant. So.
I will say, when I'm doing this icebreaker, this one is one that comes up quite a bit, JonBenet Ramsey.
I mean, it's a modern one. It's like this was like when news was like modern, where like you see this on the nightly news every night. They talk about what was discovered and what's going on in the case and everything like that. So yeah, everybody knew about this.
Well,
Yeah,
and
because
you said it was 1996.
five, six,
Yeah,
yeah.
so what just happened? We had the jury come back with the O.J. Simpson
OJ.
murder crime of the century, right? So, the news editors were probably looking for something new. So,
Well, yeah, I mean the ratings from the O.J. Simpson trial, they liked those and they wanted to have more like that. So, what's the next thing? All right. My number three, this might be the oldest one, and I really waffled about whether or not to have it on here, but it is really one that, I mean, to me, it's an unsolved mystery, and it's Stonehenge.
Oh, good
Who
one.
built it?
All right.
Why? Stonehenge has been around for 5,000 plus years, and somehow no one really knows who built it and why. The stones are perfectly arranged, astronomically aligned, and some weigh 25 tons, dragged from quarries 100 miles away. That's where they can trace where these stones came from. They did not come from that direct vicinity. It lines up with solstices. It has burial mounds nearby, but there's no blueprint, no instructions, no carvings saying this was for sacrifices or this was, or please leave the goats here, nothing. So there are theories. It was a sun temple, it was a prehistoric calendar, a spiritual healing spot, or aliens.
Aliens.
Some believe it was an ancient wellness center, a prehistoric spa, other things. Other people think ancient humans just love symmetry and good vibes. Modern day druids still go there to celebrate the solstice. So that's just one of those things that, like, we've always recognized as being a mystery. Like, no one has ever been able to pinpoint what it was from. And it will never be. I mean, I don't see us ever, figuring this out because it's been here forever. So,
Well, yeah, whatever evidence to point to anything else was gone, right? Yeah, this is a really great one. It's funny to hear them talk about it like being a wellness center as opposed to like, hey, we made a really big clock.
I mean, and if you ask me, that's probably what it was. I mean, but something like that. Something having to do with the sun, something having to do with a calendar, something having to do with telling time.
But the precision is pretty crazy.
The
Right.
precision, the way it lines up with things, yeah, that's just crazy. And how they were able to drag it 100 miles 5,000 plus years ago. I mean, obviously slaves, but
Or aliens.
or aliens. Slave aliens.
I suppose so. in terms of the precision and the alignment, you could do it with you could do it at a smaller scale with lighter material,
Mock it up.
right? The light would work, right? And then, but that's, I think, Jay, you're asking, like, that's actually the other bigger question. And then, how did this material get here?
Magic.
Magic aliens.
What if it was the glaciers? Maybe they were just there, standing right there.
Yeah.
Glaciers can move many big things.
They're perfectly placed.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so that was my number three. Let's do some twos.
All right. This number two has been my number one for a long, long time.
Ooh.
But I had to change my number one. But this number two is a mystery that is interesting for me. Picture it. Boston, 1990, St. Patrick's Day. Two security guards at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum receive a knock at the door. Two other men dressed as Boston police officers enter the museum and the heist begins. 13 paintings by renowned artists, including Monet, Degas, Vermeer, and Rembrandt, are stolen, cut out of frames in under 81 minutes. So 13 paintings, 81 minutes. It remains the largest theft of property in the United States history. No one has ever attempted to sell the paintings. No one has come forth to claim the $10 million reward for the painting's return. And as somebody who lived in Boston, now it was really interesting. So Isabella Stewart Gardner was a spice heiress. She builds this big Italian palazzo in Boston in the Back Bay Fens, kind of around the corner from where Fenway Park is and where the Museum of Fine Arts is. She has this great art collection. She doesn't curate it in the way that most modern museums do. When she dies, she gives the house to the city of Boston, and she says this is to be open as a museum, and you're not to alter the presentation whatsoever, right? So it's a great museum to go to because you appreciate modern museum curatorial techniques, because sometimes the lighting is shining on it. There's no like placards to say what you're looking at.
Sure.
There's like these little maps that you have to kind of carry. So it's not a great museum for viewing art, but when you turn the corner in particular into this one room and you see two empty frames on the wall because they can't like hang something else there, it's like looking at a chalk outline of a murder. And like I said, this is a bloodless crime. The security guards were fine for a while. They really suspected it was one of the security guards. I think these guys were just high. They were like college students.
Not taking their
Obviously, the
job
museum
seriously.
security has changed since then.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting crime, because there's even on the second floor, on the first floor, there's a painting that goes missing, and it's like it is truly pocket size, and it's not where any of the other paintings are. And it's like how many police officers or news reporters were in there, and they're like, I'm just gonna roll this up and put it in my pocket.
Yeah.
So like it may not even have stolen that one. There's a great documentary on Netflix called This Is a Robbery. And it kind of goes into a lot of the different theories, conspiracy theories. Some people wondered if Boston Mafia was involved because Boston was a huge, in late 80s, early 90s, running arms to Ireland, to the IRA. Some people would steal these things, and there's been other cases where they would steal paintings to then negotiate down prison sentences. The FBI has got a $10 million reward. They've really been pushing it more so like this was around 2017, 2018. There was the local public radio station in Boston does a podcast called Last Scene. Netflix releases this documentary called This Is a Robbery, which is very entertaining. It moves very
I've
quickly.
heard this is good, yeah, actually.
Yeah. And I think what the FBI is really trying to do is get the paintings in front of the widest possible public. Because what they suspect is going to happen is that wherever the paintings went, those people will die. And then, you're going to do an
Yeah.
estate sale and you're going to clean out the garage or the
And be
attic or
like,
the back barn.
wait a minute, I've
And
seen
like,
that
here, yeah,
somewhere.
here's the Vermeer. Vermeer's the
Yeah.
concert. Now, Vermeer is kind of interesting because Vermeer only has like 36 paintings around the world. So it's kind of a shame that like one of them's gone missing.
Yeah.
Rembrandt, it was the only seascape he's ever done. It's Christ on the Storm of Galilee, which is from the story of you two gentlemen know, all the
The
disciples
Bible.
are, yeah, the boat's tossing and turning, and
Yeah.
God's trying to control, Jesus is trying to control the storm.
Yes.
It's a really fascinating case. Again, it's a bloodless crime. And it's really great to go into the museum and kind of see it. But highly recommend watching the documentary.
So you said the frames are still there on the wall? Interesting.
So how do they suspect they were that like were the frames taken down and they are pulled off, or they were taken back from the backside somehow, or how do they suspect they were taken?
Oh no, in some cases they were thrown down on the ground, smashed, and the canvas was cut out
Oh,
of the
okay.
frame
Got it.
because there was
Okay.
like little remnants,
So it's
right? So
obvious
they
how they were taken. Yep.
yeah so if there's ever a match, there's some residual
Sure.
canvas and pigmentation
Yep.
that they would be able
They can
to match
match.
up.
Yeah, makes
But
sense.
yeah, no, in some cases, and that's the other thing too, right? Like for people who love art, the idea of a knife going into a canvas, it seems very violent. So I know I'm
Yeah.
saying this is a bloodless crime, but some people would look at that as a true act of violence. But
It's worse than
yeah,
blood.
no, they just yeah.
Yeah.
So and the museum of course had to do something, and so they've got these empty frames just hanging in the museum where pictures were stolen on St. Patrick's Day by
Yeah.
two guys dressed as cops.
Oh, that's so interesting. Okay. So that was your number two. Yep. Caleb.
So my number two, I thought about doing like COVID, like the origins of COVID, you know, that's kind of unsolved. But then that led me down to, well, what happened during COVID? And that led me down to
Yeah.
probably the most popular documentary ever watched while people were in lockdown, and that is Tiger King. And did Carol Baskin's kill her husband?
Yes.
Did she kill
Yeah.
her? We don't know. So for those who don't know,
What was the phrase that bitch Carol Baskins?
I
What
just
was the
know the song.
phrase?
Carol Baskins killed him. That was the name of the song. That's all I can think of. So that was Jack Lewis was his name. He who disappeared on the morning of August 18, 1997, after leaving his home in Tampa Bay, Florida. There was an investigation into his death. Or I guess into his disappearance, because they don't know that he
Disappearance.
died. They've never found anything.
Yep.
There's no evidence has surfaced that Lewis was a victim of a crime, but friends, family, and investigators believe it is unlikely that he disappeared by choice, because he had some unlocked business plans and all that kind of stuff, and apparently left behind $5 million in assets, and was declared dead in 2002 on the fifth anniversary of his disappearance. So. Did she do it? Did Carol do it? No one knows. We're not sure what happened, but yeah.
I just checked, fact check. It what the phrase was that bitch Carol Baskin.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I needed to know.
One unsolved mystery solved.
I
Yeah.
love the progression of that introduction, though. That was good, Caleb. Well played.
Why they pay me the big bucks.
That's how we get those athletic greens.
Yep. That's how we get what'd you say, MailChimp? That's how we get
MailChimp.
MailChimp
MailChimp?
sponsorships. Yep. Does
Sorry.
that still exist?
I think I did see something about it recently, but I doubt it's
I
as big of a
used
thing.
it when I worked in the nonprofit world, but that was a couple years back, so I don't know if it still exists or not. But
Oh, MailChimp still exists. It's owned by Intuit,
of
the
course.
makers
Course it
of
is. Yeah. So now you
TurboTax.
can
And
send mass
QuickBooks.
emails while doing your taxes. Yeah.
And your bookkeeping.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. All right. So my number two, this one has happened a few places around the world since the year 2020. Out of nowhere in late 2020, a helicopter crew finds this shiny metal monolith standing in the middle of nowhere in the Utah desert. A few days later, it's gone. Then another one shows up in Romania, then California, then the Netherlands. Even one made of gingerbread shows up in San Francisco. Most were unclaimed. Some were well built, others slapped together. Some vanished mysteriously. Others were taken down by random people saying, "This doesn't belong here." Theories, guerrilla art projects inspired by 2001 Space Odyssey, a coordinated global social experiment, random copycats just having fun, or aliens.
Aliens. This is a good one. Yeah, no, this one's sort of interesting. I just assumed it was Banksy.
Yeah. But like if you've seen you've seen these pictures of some of these where it's just like shiny, like polished stainless steel just out in the middle of the desert. And it's like so far away from any road, even sometimes, no visible means of tracks or anything like that. It just showed up. I just love the idea of this, that something so foreign got in such a remote or such a random place. So it clearly was aliens. So yep. I the fa my favorite one though is the gingerbread one
I didn't know about the gingerbread one. I hadn't heard that
though.
one.
Yeah, that definitely's got to be a copycat.
Yeah, that's
That can't
I
be an
don't think it
alien.
was the same person.
Sure.
It was not
That one's not
Banksy.
aliens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. That was my number two. Not
That's a
much to
pretty good
talk
one.
about. So much mystery, so much so much not known about it, but it's just I love the idea of it.
Yeah.
Right.
If I was a rich person who had nothing better to do with my time, I'd probably do shit
You
like
do
this.
that? How would you do it though, right? Like, so if there's no
Helicopter.
roads, would you helicopter, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Helicopter and maybe drone technology and
Yeah.
install it.
Yeah.
Look, if I'm rich, I ain't doing it. Somebody, I'm paying somebody to do
Yeah. Yeah.
it. Well, yeah. But you're ordering the
I don't
mission.
know. I think I would want to do it. If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself.
Sure.
Says the carpenter.
Yeah. So that was my number two. We ready to move on to our ones?
Yeah,
Yep.
we can. All right. This is the grand finale. You guys want to take any guesses what my number one is?
No.
All right.
Yours have all been so unique that I haven't heard of, so
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be
Yeah.
able to
Okay.
guess it.
All right.
Unless
So
you're
this
like
one is.
resorting to like just the most common one on your last one, which doesn't seem like you.
Yeah, well, no, this is a new one, right? So if number two, the Isabella Stewart Gardner, was my longtime number one, this one was the one that I only learned about a few months ago, and I was like, wait, what? This is a mystery?
What? Come again?
And we don't know who invented Bitcoin.
Really?
So blockchain technology has changed
I know it's
transactions.
been a while, been around a while. That's
Bitcoin
crazy.
is the most popular cryptocurrency. They attribute it to a man named Satoshi Nakamoto, but he's not a public figure. He doesn't, and they're not even sure that he ever really existed. Clearly he would be, right, one of the wealthiest men in the
Yeah.
world. Did he, did he bribe a bunch of people to erase any birth records? Is it an alias? Is it, but we can look at like Elon Musk and say there's a person who exists. We can look at
Yeah.
Peter Thiel and say there's a person who exists. We don't know who invented Bitcoin. We
So
don't know
interesting.
Satoshi Nakamoto. So I don't have enough to say, right? Because Bitcoin is obviously a currency that's changing things, and blockchain technology is probably the way of the future.
Yeah.
Not necessarily saying that for cryptocurrency, but blockchain has some interesting applications. But clearly, is something that will play a bigger role toward the end of my life. But we don't know who this person is. And it's a relatively new mystery. And so it's one of those things where I will be clicking out all the clickbait going forward. Just like people used to for Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Not that I'm
I
saying
think
that
it's DB
Satoshi
Cooper.
Nakamoto is Jack the Ripper or a murderer. So if he's alive, don't drop an obelisk, a shiny metal obelisk on me through a helicopter.
Yeah, that's interesting.
DB Cooper invented blockchain.
Yeah, that's what he did with the
Yeah.
money.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, what am I going to do with all these marked bales? God damn
I'm not gonna lie, like Bitcoin to me is an unsolved mystery. Like I still don't understand Bitcoin. I've read everything about it. I've heard people try to explain it. Still to this day, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
Right.
Like you have to mine it? What do you mean? Wait, who put it in the
Yeah.
computers? Like I still don't. It still makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it's a
And
it's
there's like
an
a finite number, but there's not a finite number because people are still mining it. I don't know. It makes no. I don't understand it.
Yeah, we need one of those podcasts where they explain it to us like we're 5-year-olds.
I've watched them and listened to them, and I
I've
still don't
tried.
get it. I don't get it. It does not make sense to me.
To be honest with you, currency doesn't make sense, right? We have
Oh,
this joke.
sure.
Like the stock market, all that, you know.
Well, but even like once right, like once the US dollar was no longer on the gold standard, then it's like, well,
Right.
what makes the dollar have the value it has? And many people would say it's the strength of our military, and therefore, that's largely why both parties vote for large defense budgets, which is the primary bloat in our government. So no, I mean, currency is always an interesting thing. Why something has value and other things do not is always a responsive thing. But in terms of like how the transaction works in the blockchain, it is rather complicated and interesting. And Lord knows it's having a major impactful moment, but yeah, I think it's also rare that you have someone who invents something and is not kind of taking credit for it. So I don't know, it's just interesting.
Yeah, I know it's all a social construct. I get that, but I would love to understand it. I would love to mine it and have some, but it doesn't make sense to me. It's bizarre. So. You want my number one?
Do it.
Wait, I want to
Okay.
take a guess.
Okay.
All right.
Won't be that hard.
How many licks does it take to get the center of a
The
Tootsie Pop?
world may never know.
I've done the experiment. It's
It's
24. No, I'm just kidding.
three. It's
Okay.
three.
It's three. Only if you're an owl. That's the only way that works. No, for me, this is the one just because of I think it probably has had the largest impact on society, and it's still talked about, and it's still impactful and means a lot to people, and that's Amelia Earhart. Just what happened to her, how, where she crashed, if she crashed. So she disappeared on July 2, 1937. She was declared dead January 5, 1939. So she was female pilot. She was going to be the first one to fly across the Atlantic Ocean, or the transatlantic ocean, right? And then never landed. Don't know what happened to her. Never been able to find pieces of her ship or not ship, her plane, anything like that. I just think the impact she's had on girls, like I read this book to my daughter all the time about impactful women, and there's
We had
several of them
that
that she
book.
has, and Amelia Earhart is almost always mentioned in all of these books, and the impact she's made on female empowerment, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, what happened? I think it would be awesome if we could someday find the ship and get some understanding of how far she made it or what happened. Just would be pretty cool for us to finally figure out what happened.
So just to recap, you had two air disasters, right? A murder, Carol Baskins, the
Well, we don't
socks.
know.
That bitch, Carol Baskins.
That bitch. We had socks.
So we had two
And
murders,
then,
two airplanes, and
yeah,
socks.
got it. Got it. Yeah, JonBenet. Yeah, okay, got it. All right. These are good ones. Amelia Earhart is another one that comes up a lot. Those are very good ones.
What do you
All
guys
right,
think my
Jay.
number one was?
Jay, you want, or Caleb, you want to take a stab at that?
I don't know either.
I
Yours
think
have
it's
all
going to
come
be.
from podcasts. Is there another mystery podcast that's out there in the world?
It's been talked about on podcasts such as Joe
I think it's
Rogan's.
about the resurrection of Christ.
No, this one is the UFOs seen by military in the last 10 years. A lot of time. So we've seen the grainy videos, the Tic Tac videos, the UAPs, the UFOs. They've gone from tinfoil hat territory to Congress is literally talking about this and making statements and declassifying information. Fighter pilots have reported objects tracking them, outmaneuvering them, flying without wings or engines, and vanishing instantly. These things show up near military bases, nuclear plants, major cities, big events. Why there? Who knows? So there are theories. There are experimental military tech, drones from hostile nations, aliens,
Aliens.
time travelers. So that's one of the most interesting ideas to me is that, like, are these humans that are time traveling and coming back and observing us?
I honestly, so I believe that there is a possibility of life, but I outside of our solar system. I don't believe that they will ever be humanoid or in a way that we can contact, right? Like, I think there's almost sort of like a quarantining sense of these things belong in their places, right? Like, would we ever know of like a gas-based consciousness, right? So it's not going
We're
to be like
expecting it to
ET
be,
or, yeah, it's not ET or, you know, Star Trek, right?
humanoid.
But then part of me is like, well, yeah, what if, I mean, what if it's time travelers? What if it's what if they're human, but they're just human from a future?
And they're not human bodies in there. They're just their little drones that are like almost like it's like a little, you know, pinhole that they're watching through, and it shows up as some sort of, you know, aircraft that can fly as fast as it wants to because it's not really, it's in another dimension somehow. But yeah, we could go on about this and we're just going to sound crazier and crazier, but it's
But it's all a
very,
simulation, right? It's all a simulation.
But yeah, anytime these things come up in the news, I'm always reading the articles about it, and it's just interesting to me. I mean, you guys, I mean, this was part of what, part of at least three of mine that, you know,
Yeah,
aliens could
aliens could be
possibly.
involved. Yeah.
I like the idea.
You
Katie has one
like
of,
aliens and podcasts.
and Katie has one of my favorite t-shirts. It's a picture of a UFO and it says, I want to believe. It's just I like things that are outside of what we can understand. It's just I
Right.
love the wonder of it. So yep.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so that's my number one. Before we wrap up, do we have any honorable mentions? Okay, Rob, why don't you go first? You got any?
Yeah, I mean, the Tootsie Pop, of course, is a good honorable mention. The Malaysian Airlines one would have been one of my honorable mentions. That one comes up a lot. You know, some people, they talk about Jack the Ripper. Some people want to know what happened to the colonists at Roanoke. Some people want to know, like, what really kind of sparked the whole Salem witch trials. There were folks who want to know, like, what happened to Anastasia after the Tsar was overthrown in Russia. Who shot JFK, right? Like that's unanswered for a lot of
Degrassi
people. Jimmy
Knoll.
Hoffa, we've talked about, yeah.
Banksy.
Banksy is another one. Yeah, who is Banksy?
Here's one
Will we
that
ever?
I had on my list for a while, and I just kind of, I just lost desire to talk about it in my top five. But who threw the cup at the Malice at the Palace when Ron Art. When that
That's
was
a
one
good
of mine.
that's a local unsolved mystery right there.
Is Tupac alive? That's kind of an out there one, but Caleb, you got any?
I had DB Cooper and Banksy just because
Oh, the
Banksy's one of my favorites, so
other
that's
one that
amazing.
comes up that I was kind of mildly interested in was who is Q, the, you know,
Oh, the QAnon.
the QAnon guy or person. But I was just like, I don't really desire to talk about
Right.
that.
Well, and then I guess are these separate mysteries, but like in some ways, like you talk about the UAPs, so like Roswell and Area 51 kind of fall in that category. There's all kinds of murders that I think would be kind of interesting, right? Like the Black Dahlia. Yeah, it's the world will never know, as the owl once said.
So, yeah, this one was Rob's topic. I had fictional worlds last time, so that means it's you, Caleb. What are we doing next week?
Yeah, I don't know yet. I'm looking through. I'm trying to figure out.
Let's take a look here.
So it's not on the list, but I'm gonna create it. Oh, I guess kind of it is. It had beers on here, but I was thinking top five adult beverages.
Okay.
Need to get some new different, things to drink out there,
Are
right?
we going specific or in general?
However you want to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's a particular beer, great. If it's a mixed drink, if it's a particular type of whiskey or whatever, it can be whatever. Kind of your top five go-to adult beverages.
Drinks.
Yep.
Can we spell it with an A?
You can spell it however your heart
Adult
desires.
drinks.
Yep.
Depends on what age of my adulthood I'm in, because I'm not that far away from Ovaltine.
Hey.
Or like my number one,
Yep. Yeah.
Metamucil.
Prune juice.
Ovaltine and Kahlua.
Yep. Yeah, however you
Okay.
want to take it.
Okay. I can run with that. All right.
Probably
Well,
doesn't take a lot of research or anything either, so.
no, but you can go down a rabbit hole on some of those, how they were invented or like how they became famous, who famous people who drank it.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. We could go some cool directions with that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm game.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. I think that's it. Anything else to say, guys, before we sign off?
We don't have any sponsors. We gotta
No, we hit
do
them up
ads for or
already.
anything, right? Okay, good.
MailChimp, Athletic Greens,
Squarespace.
Squarespace. Yep. We got them all
Casper
covered.
mattresses.
Bitcoin, I think.
Yeah,
Malaysia
Bitcoin.
Airlines.
Oh.
I don't know if they're a sponsor anymore after today.
Love
They might be a little upset.
it. Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to hit the stop button right now.
And that's a wrap on another episode of the High Five Podcast. Remember, five is just the start, not the end. Don't forget to share your high fives with us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/thehighfivepodcast. We'll be back next week with more exciting adventures in counting and beyond. Until then, a big high five from Caleb, Derek, and Jay to you. We'll see you next time. Intro and outro music was created by our friend Trevor Durheimer.